The book of Acts, chapter 6. We started a series here not too long ago about offices and gifts within the New Testament church. And, of course, the idea here is that it's time that we ordain some elders and deacons. And so we want to know exactly what it is that we're doing. Now, we talked about elders in a previous message. This morning, let's talk for a few minutes about deacons before we go to the Lord's table. And so as we open Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, we see now that the church is beginning to grow. The numbers are getting large. And in chapter 6 and verse number 1, the scripture says, "And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude and the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pharmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, and they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people." Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we seek from you guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, now that the number of disciples has been greatly multiplied, we see 3,000 and 5,000 being saved at one time. As the Lord Jesus now has risen from the dead, he's ascended into heaven, sent down the Holy Spirit, and now the disciples of the Lord are out preaching his message, beginning with Peter on the day of Pentecost. And we find now that there are so many people that it becomes very difficult for the disciples to be able to take care of the whole thing. And in those days, there was great poverty in the land of Israel. They were the rich and the poor, just like there always is in every place. And, of course, the people that had come to the Lord Jesus Christ were mostly the poor people. And so what they would do is when they got together, they would have a time where they would do as we do one Sunday of the month, and they'd have a meal together. But they'd do it all the time because that was about the only time that they could get together enough food to have a decent meal. And so what is happening here is the Jewish Christians now still have that kind of exclusive view that God belongs to them, and these Greeks now that have been saved, they're of a somewhat lesser sort. In other words, we find cliques forming within the group here, and they start to murmur against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So, of course, they had no, what we call today, a safety net. They didn't have any sort of welfare program. They didn't have retirement programs. And if a woman was a widow and her husband didn't have anything to leave behind for her, which he likely would not, she would just be cast upon the world. Nobody there to take care of her at all if she didn't have any children. And sometimes if she did have children, they might not be mindful to make sure she's taken care of. And so now she's a born-again believer and part of the church, and those Greek widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. Well, what to do about that? Verse number 2. Then the 12, this is the original 11 minus Judas Iscariot. Now Matthias has been chosen to take his place, so we back up to 12 disciples. They are now the leaders and elders in the movement here, and they get before the congregation and say in verse number 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It's just gotten too big, and there's only 12 of us. We can't be everywhere at once. And besides, if we start doing that and taking care of the tables, we can't spend time in the Word of God like we should. We can't prepare ourselves to be able to preach the Word of God because there's simply too much to be done." And so their answer in verse number 3 is, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So they said to the congregation now, you make a choice. Choose out 7 men of honest report. And when we looked at the qualifications for elders and deacons a little while ago, we see that because it's an office, there's a list of qualifications that they must meet. And so now the congregation is to look out amongst themselves 7 of honest report whom the elders could appoint over this business. So basically what they are is helpers to the elders. Now the very name deacon is one of those words that we find in our English Bible that's transliterated from the Greek. It comes from the Greek word diakonos. And it simply means a servant or a fellow helper. And so they needed some help to take care of the physical part of the ministry so that they could give themselves to study the Word of God and prayer. So in verse number 5 we see this saying pleased the whole multitude because they saw the need. The congregation realized we have a need here for this. We need somebody to take care of the physical part of the ministry so that the elders could take care of the spiritual part of the ministry. And by working together, they'd make sure that all the needs of the assembly were met. So verse number 5 again. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. And we're going to hear from Stephen and Philip again in the book of Acts. And then the others in verse number 5. And then in verse number 6, we see whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So the office of a deacon is conferred by the laying on of hands. It's an ordination procedure. It's a formality that's done before the congregation with the congregation's full approval. So the elders now are just taking what the congregation wants to be done to solve this problem, and they take the leadership and acting on behalf of the congregation, they now ordain these deacons to their office. Now, because someone is a deacon does not mean that they don't also have gifts. Remember, there's a difference between offices and gifts. There are only 2 offices in the New Testament church. They're both conferred by ordination, but there are manifold gifts. Well, who can tell me what Deacon Stephen's gift was? He paid a great price for it.
Preaching?
Pardon?
Preaching?
He did pretty well preaching, didn't he? The Israelites didn't like it either. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." That was a very pleasing statement to the Israelites who had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I said he paid dearly for his office, well, I didn't mean that he purchased it through simony like the high priest. would be conferred, because the office of high priest in the time of our Lord was simply bought and sold as a political office. But of course, we know that Deacon Stephen was stoned, and we read the account, but also Philip. Can somebody suggest what Philip does a little bit later on in the story? Yes, Philip is the one that the Holy Spirit directs to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch professes Christ as his Savior, and Philip baptizes him. So we read about Philip a little bit later on. Well, the qualifications. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 once again, just to refresh ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 1, remember, offices carry qualifications with them. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, and one can desire the office of a bishop, you don't get to desire your spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit passes those out when you're a born-again believer, irrespective of any conditions. There's no list or qualifications to the reception and use of a spiritual gift. So this is a different thing. This is an office. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patience, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Okay, the qualifications for an elder. Now in verse number 8, we begin a list of the qualifications for a deacon. Likewise, in other words, pretty much like the qualifications for an elder, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So once again, now we have the list of these qualifications. And so now as we come up to the Lord's table, let's put these things in memory, because we do intend as a church to act upon these things forthwith. Now let's bow our heads and prepare ourselves for the Lord's table. Now the Lord's table is one of the two ordinances of the church. The church has two ordinances. One is baptism, and the other is the Lord's table. And the Lord's table is the most solemn time in the church. It's a time when we completely empty our minds of all extraneous thought and have our minds concentrated on the blood and the body of Christ, the blood that was shed for us and the body that was broken for us. And the scripture tells us that we should never come to the Lord's table with any sort of burden or other thoughts on our mind, because that would demean the reason that we're coming together for the Lord's table, which is to celebrate the shed blood of our Lord and the broken body of our Lord. And to do otherwise is to partake in an unworthy manner. the word unworthy modifies the act, not the actor. So if you're a born-again believer, you have a legitimate place at the Lord's table. But we don't want to partake in an unworthy manner. And of course, when we read 1 and 2 Corinthians, we see that there was a great lack of order in those congregations, which is why Paul had to write that. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes and now begin to stay our minds on what Jesus did for us, that he had to shed his blood and he had to have his body broken that we might be born again believers and have a relationship with the living God. So I'll ask the men to come and get ready for the service of the table. I'll read as our manner is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Casey, would you return thanks to the Lord for the body that was broken for us?
Father, at this moment we pause in our day and in our month to remember the work that you set upon Christ to do on our behalf. And thank you for the body that was broken for us, that he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Perfect God, perfect man, broken in body for us. so that we may have that home and that relationship with you, Father. Thank you for the time to remember that work that was completed all those days ago. In Jesus' name, amen.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Shall we together remember the broken body of our Lord? After the same manner also he took the cup when he'd supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Brother Rod, would you return thanks for the blood that was shed for us?
Lord, we do thank you so much for the perfect sacrifice that you gave us, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, he's the perfect lamb. Lord, and he shed his blood. They beat him, and his blood was shed. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and his blood was shed. They pierced his hands and his feet, and his blood was shed. And finally, they pierced his side so that he wouldn't be broken. Lord, we're so grateful for this. We know in Romans 6 it says that we're buried unto his death also. Most of all, Lord, we're so grateful that he rose again and he completed our salvation. Lord, that you would receive all the glory and honor in Jesus' ever precious name.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Shall we together remember the shed blood of our Lord? When we come to the Lord's table, it's our custom to share with one another testimonies, things that the Lord's done for us. And that's a wonderful time. So if you have something you'd like to share with the rest of us, now would be a good time to do just that. Yes, brother.
I'd just like to say that I've been married to Shirley 5 years tomorrow, yeah. If I remember right, and it's been a great joy and a blessing to me to have her alongside as we walk the road of faith. We help each other a lot. We sometimes have to chastise each other and bring each other back onto the narrow path. And I just think that's something that God's given me that I'm very blessed and thankful for.
Amen. Great testimony. Would someone else like to share something? Mom?
So thank the Lord for my salvation and to help me understand the scripture and to learn. And most important, thank him for when said he by to us his miracle.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? It's always good to share these little matters of the heart that we can let one another in on. That's the thing that kind of welds us together as a body. Deb?
I just wanted to share again, and for some that weren't there like yesterday, but it's been weighing on my heart, baptism, and wanting to understand that better. And I met with Pastor and his wife Friday, and better understand things and have made a decision. I do want to proceed and be baptized, so... soon, when it's warm, I'll be getting baptized. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Amen. We are too. Wonderful. So when she chooses the date, we'll announce that, and we'll have a get-together like we usually do over in the courtyard, have a fellowship, because that's a very notable milestone on our journey with the Lord.
Practice holding your breath.
Okay.
I'm not that slow.
No, he's not.
Anyone else?
Well, I like to thank the Lord for my salvation. And, it's nice seeing a few extra seats filled in services.
Yes. A wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord's table is something I thought I just might remark on before we close in prayer. It's something that is so sacred and holy in the life of a church that we do it often enough so that we don't forget the lesson that it teaches, but not so often that it becomes mundane either. So we try to strike that balance, and hopefully we do. So if there aren't any more testimonies, then we'll ask Brother Casey to close us in prayer and take any prayer requests that you might have.
Prayer requests, then. We'll remember those this morning. Sam.
Just want to find out tomorrow if they're going to be saved. And that all would go well there and donate it, so we'll be saved.
Yes, amen. All right. Sam's wife, Anita, goes to Germany tomorrow for her travel. And then for the funeral services for her mom and dad as well, for the gospel to go out. Mitch?
Susan got a migraine right now during the break. That's why I had to go in for it. For just some help for feel better.
Yeah. Amen.
Kevin's family. Jeff and Dylan continuing to travel, both in a couple different directions. So for both of them to have an enjoyable time, and then
and also for Dylan's
health.